Who's ready to rest? Yeah. Oh boy, I'll tell you. Excited about this one. Just know if my tone is like any sort of rebuke, just know that I'm speaking directly to myself, not to you guys. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, you see our weary hearts and our overfilled calendars. Lord, today we hear your invitation. Come to me and I will give you rest. Lord, and we choose to lay our burdens at your feet. Lord, by your Spirit, quiet the noise within us and around us so we can learn your gentle and humble way. As we'll talk, Lord, lead us beside those quiet waters and teach us the gift of the Sabbath and of silence. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, this will be the last message of this series. We had a lot of things go on during this series, right, in the world. So might not have looked like it was intended to look, but I think that's all right. I think that's exactly what God intended. It's exactly what we did. Next week, again, I'll be gone. I'll be in Arizona. So Craig will be filling the pulpit. And in the spirit of rest, the next 2 weeks after that, Brent is going to do a series on the Holy Spirit. So I'm not preaching for the next 3 weeks, so you're welcome. Hopefully you're excited. I don't know, maybe you are, right? But who is good at resting? Anybody? Okay, Carol? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, that's like in your DNA as a teenager, right? Sleeping until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not, right? I'm not very good at resting. I mean, maybe like some of you, my brain has a really difficult time shutting off, right? And I just, I think Amanda and I went to bed. I can't remember. Maybe it was Friday night or Thursday night or whatever. And I just couldn't sleep. So I get out of bed and she comes in the living room at like 1:30 in the morning. She's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Can't sleep." I just can't sleep. I have very difficult time resting. Now, when we talk about rest, and we'll kind of dig into this, I'm not just talking about like sleeping, like getting enough sleep. I mean, like genuine Sabbath, like taking a day and just resting. That's really what today is all about. You know, we're often like, you know, a smartphone, right? That's not charging. Yeah, we don't have it plugged in, right? We're using all the apps. We're doing all these different things, and it just keeps dwindling down in power, and before ultimately it just dies, right? That's the same with our souls. Our souls are dying from exhaustion. We have a very beautiful invitation for rest in Matthew chapter 11. It says, "Come to me," as Jesus talking, "come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I mean, that sounds pretty good, right? It's like, oh yeah, we can totally rest. He said so, we can do it. But if you're anything like me, you fail miserably at that. You know, if you notice in this particular passage what he's not saying, what Jesus is not saying, is he's not saying, "Come to me when you got it all figured out." He's not saying, "Come to me once your to-do list is completed." There's no conditions that he's putting. He said, "Just come to me, those who are weary and burdened, and what? I will give you rest." Really, in other words, Jesus is specifically calling to the exhausted, to the overwhelmed, and the bone-tired among us. And the word weary in the Greek is kopaio, which means to be tired from hard labor, to be worn out. It's the kind of tired that a nap is not going to fix. It's just like physical, just exhaustion. Like you just, nothing is really going to fix it except to just stop and just be still and be in Him. And when Jesus says, I will give you rest, He doesn't say that I'll give you better time management skills to be able to complete more throughout the day. No, He says, I'll give you rest. That's what He offers us. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 6. This is Jesus' example of Jesus and the disciples. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. Who's ever been there? You've just been so busy you forgot to eat lunch. Caitlin and I, my friend Caitlin, she's been here a few times. When we do construction work together, like when we were building her house, for an example, we would start at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and we would end at maybe like 9 o'clock at night. We'd have a few bottles of water, and then we'd look at each other like, man, we totally forgot to eat all day, right? Because we're so busy, we just still forget to do just the very basic of things. And this passage here in Mark is fascinating. The disciples had just returned from their first missionary journey. They were excited. They were probably exhausted. And they had stories to tell. But notice the situation. People were coming and they were going constantly, right? A lot like our own lives or our work or our schools or whatever it is. Our people are just coming and going, and their ministry was booming. There were needs everywhere, not unlike today's world, right? There's needs everywhere we look. There's something that somebody needs. People wanted healing and teaching and deliverance, and the work was important for sure. And right in the middle, what is said in verse 31? Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest a while. Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest a while. Jesus prioritized rest over ministry production. That's how important it is. He pulled His disciples away and says, you need to take a knee. You need to rest. Because Jesus understood something very critical. If we don't rest, we won't last. If we don't rest, we won't last. If you remember nothing else, remember that. If you don't rest, you won't last. Ministry, and by the way, we're all missionaries, right? So as we do ministry together, it's so much easier to do it when we are rested, right? If we're just dragging, if we just can't do anything, like if we're just super exhausted, do you know how much more difficult ministry is going to be? It's going to be so much more difficult. Now the rest, the principle of the Sabbath is, it's not anything new. It's been around for a minute. Take a look at Genesis chapter 2. It says, on the seventh day, God had completed His work and that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it He rested from all His work of creation. So was God tired? Did the Creator of the universe need to take a break? He didn't, but take a look at Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to His understanding. So if he never becomes faint or weary, then why did he need to take a break? Why did he need to take a break? Because he needed to establish a pattern for us. He needed to establish a pattern. He rested to show that us that rest is not a sign of weakness, but is an act of trust. He rested to sanctify rest and to make it holy. To make it holy. Exodus chapter 20, you know, when God gave the Ten Commandments, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. So the Sabbath isn't a suggestion, it's a commandment. It's a commandment. We have to take that rest. You know, it's right alongside, don't kill people, right? Don't commit murder. Also rest, right? That's how important it is. That's how important it is. So why we don't rest? There's a few different things we're going to talk about of why we don't rest. Now, if it's commanded by God, then why are we not doing it? And here's three things I think are why. We believe the lie that our worth equals our productivity, right? That our worth equals our productivity. If we're not producing, then maybe we don't feel like we're valued. Second, we're afraid what we might discover in the silence. So when we are resting on a Sabbath, we should be, you know, have some silence. We should be able to, you know, just be, you know, right? We're making it, God has made it holy, right? He's sanctified rest. So if we're resting, that means we're spending time with God in quiet and silence. What might that reveal to us as we are in quiet with the Lord? And third, we suffer from a Messiah complex. We secretly believe that everything will fall apart if we step away. Who is in that category? Right? Nobody wants to raise their hand. I'll raise my hand, right? Right? We always feel, not always, but many times we feel if we take a breather that things will fall apart. That things will just completely go by the wayside. You know, I remember when I went to Saudi Arabia, and was it Saudi? I don't even remember what place. It's irrelevant where I went. But my job, I might have even told you the story, my job was, you know, to account for certain transactions for aviation fuel, right? Like, I don't know, 40 or 50 million gallons of fuel. And that was like my wheelhouse. But as going on deployment, I had to rely on somebody else to do my job for me, right? And I was constantly concerned and worried that, you know, they weren't doing my job or they weren't doing it well, or, you know, there's going to be a lot of problems once I got back. And sure enough, when I got back from deployment after 6 months, turns out that the guy that was supposed to do my job didn't do anything, so I had to account, you know, for 40 or 50 million gallons of fuel. You know, just think, if you put it in like dollars, right, that's like, think I've had like 40 or 50 million dollars weren't accounted for 6 months, so that I had to come back and do all of that, right? Because I thought that nobody could do it. You know, I had this weird, you know, Messiah complex where if I just left, you know, things wouldn't get done. And the truth is that things would have gotten done if I didn't have that Messiah complex before I left and trained the person that was going to take over my job and trained him well enough to be able to do my job. Right, that's what we're talking about. And even today, you know, I still have that trouble. You know, I always joke with Tammy because, I mean, she's not here to defend herself, but she's very vocal to me, rightfully and thankfully, to make sure that I take a break, right? Like, probably every time I see her, she's like, how are you doing? how are you really doing? And she asked me this morning, why are your eyes red? I was like, I don't know. I mean, I had 4 hours of sleep last night. She's like, well, that's why your eyes are red, right? So she's very good about making sure that I rest, right? So again, while I'm preaching this message, I'm preaching it to myself today because I do not rest. And that's not a braggy thing. That's a shameful thing. Right, that's something that I know I need to work on for sure. Psalm 127 reminds us, in vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the ones he loves. God gives sleep to those he loves. Know this, rest is a gift. Rest is a gift. It isn't anything that we have to earn. It's a gift. So let's try this. So everybody, you know, crump your fists up. Just do your fists as tight as you can do it, right? I'm like, as tight as you, Genevieve, do it, or you're grounded. Don't punch. Right, if you do your fists as tight as you can, you see your hands are going to start to shake. It's going to start feeling a little painful, right? And now slowly start opening your hands. Do you feel that release from all that tension, right? So when we are busy, when we don't rest, this is what we're like, right? And how can we let God in to give us rest when we're closed off, right? But instead, when we open up and we have that release and we allow God to come in to our lives to give us the rest that he has promised us, it's so, so much different. An open hand can receive, right? An open hand can receive, but a closed fist can't. So we have to be open. Rest is about opening our hands. It's about releasing the grip on our schedules, our outcomes, and our need to be needed. Rest is about saying, God, I trust you enough to stop. I trust you enough to stop. Whatever it is that we're doing that's keeping us far too busy to stop, do we trust God enough to stop? Do we trust him enough to know that, you know what, he's got it. I don't have to worry about it. I can go ahead and quit playing God, right, and just let him take it over. So what does rest actually look like? It's intentional. It's intentional. It's not just something, you know, on, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, you know, like this before I got my CPAP, every single Sunday I would sit on my couch as soon as I got home from church and I would immediately fall asleep, right? But I mean, now that I'm sleeping better with my CPAP, I don't do that anymore. But that's how exhausted I was after church. It was a thing. I just fell asleep, and it's nothing that I planned. It's just something that we did. It wasn't an intentional thing. But when we talk about rest, when we talk about a Sabbath, it needs to be intentional. Right? And I know there's a lot of people, myself included, like when we talk about a Sabbath, like turn your cell phone off, turn your iPad off, you know, even turn your TV off, open up the Word of God and read and see what he wants to reveal to you. There's so much that we can do and learn on a Sabbath to recharge our batteries. And sleep is also one of those things. You know, in a culture where we're always so busy, do you know what taking a Sabbath looks like? It looks like being rebellious, right? We have to kind of be rebellious because the world really isn't quiet. The world doesn't stop. Our own town, our own cities don't stop. So in order for us to stop, we have to kind of rebel a little bit and say, you know what, my life with Jesus is far more important than whatever else is going on in the world, so I just need to stop and take a day and rest. Psalm 23 says, he lets me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside, quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. God leads us to rest. He renews our life. This is an ongoing thing. It's rhythmic. The Sabbath is worshipful. It is worshipful. That's what we have to remember. True rest reorients us towards God. It reminds us that he is God and that we are not, right? I mean, I'm sure I'll only speak for myself that there's probably little things that I do throughout the day where maybe I think that I'm God. Maybe it's, you know, an unconscious thing that I'm doing. But it's because I'm not resting. I'm not taking a day and just reorienting myself with God. But rest isn't just about ceasing activity. It's also about embracing silence. This is a toughie, right? Embracing silence. I don't know about anybody else, but like even when I'm doing homework or something, I have to have some noise, right? I have to have music or I have to have like a TV on in the background or something, just some sort of noise. But, you know, when we talk about ceasing activity, when we talk about a Sabbath, we also want to focus on silence. 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah was exhausted and afraid. He ran into the wilderness and basically had a breakdown. And what did God do about that? He didn't rebuke him, right? He gave him rest. He gave him rest, gave him food, and then he met him in silence. Take a look at 1 Kings 19. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence." At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. Do you notice what that is? God wasn't in the noise. He wasn't in the noise, he was in the whisper. And that's why it's important for silence. Because I don't know about you, but I can't hear a little whisper if I have a lot of noise going on in my life. Right? I could not hear a whisper at all. And we live in a noisy world. Right? It's so noisy. It's even more noisy over the past week or so. You know, we have alarms, we have, you know, social media, we have the news, we have this, we have that, we have so much stuff, so much noise that just clouds everything, and it certainly makes it nearly impossible to hear that whisper. That's why it's important to block out the noise. When we fill every moment with sound, we drown out the voice of God. When we fill every moment with sound, we drown out the voice of God. Psalm 46:10 says, "Stop fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth." Some translations, as you know, say, "Be still and know that I'm God." And the Hebrew word there is rapha, which means to relax, to let go, to cease striving. So it's really just an active choice to stop. Right, to just stop and be still and focus on God. It's absolutely critical. When we practice the discipline of rest and silence, something pretty remarkable happens. Our souls become restored. Right? Our souls become restored. Now, if you've thought maybe you've taken some rest, maybe you've taken a Sabbath or whatever, and if you don't feel rested, maybe we need to reevaluate how we're doing the Sabbath, right? How we're taking a rest. Because, as we've already mentioned, you know, when we take that break, that rest, and we focus on the silence, and we focus on God, it truly restores our soul. Jesus regularly withdrew to be alone. In Luke 5, he says, "Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." So if Jesus, the Son of God, can go and rest and be in silence with the Father, then I feel like we probably could too. Right? I feel like we probably could as well. When we rest, we're reminded that the world doesn't revolve around us. Right? The world doesn't revolve around us. We learn to trust God. We learn to create space for Him in our life and to focus on the silence so we can listen to Him speak. And Isaiah 40 promises, "But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint." Notice it says, "Those who trust in the Lord." Rest is an act of trust. It's saying, "God, that you're bigger than my schedule. You're bigger, you know, than my email list." You know, I don't know how many times I've probably got like 23,000 unread emails right now. Don't get me started. Right? He is bigger than our lists. He's bigger than our to-do lists, our email lists, our everything. But we have to not be like this. We have to be like this and just be open. I want to share a story about a pastor who learned this lesson the hard way. It's the kind of pastor who was always available. Right, his phone was always on. He would, you know, get phone calls. He would always answer the phone. He would always, you know, respond to emails at midnight. He would always do these different things. And there's one day he just woke up and he was like, "Oh man, I am so tired. I'm exhausted." Like it was physically hard for him to even get out of bed. Like he just wanted to just kind of shut down and just not move and not speak and not even see anybody, not even see his family, just kind of relax. And shortly after that, I think it was actually later on that day, you know, he had called a pastor friend of his and kind of turned into a mentor, and he'd kind of tell him the story, like, "Man, I don't know what's wrong. I might have to go to the doctor. I just feel so tired." And his buddy asked him one question. He said, "When do you rest? When do you rest?" was what his friend said. And the pastor kind of paused a little bit. He's like, "I mean, I rest like when I go to bed, you know, maybe I go to bed a little bit later than some. I do this, whatever. Maybe I'm too busy doing this or that, but I rest, you know, I get some sleep. I do all of these things." And he was like, "Well, no, when do you truly rest? Because your soul is like a bank account. Soul's like a bank account, and if you just keep making withdrawals from your bank account and you don't, you know, replenish it, then you can't do much else once it runs dry. Right? Once there's no more money left in the account, you'll be overdrawn." The pastor had to learn to practice Sabbath rest. You know, it was a hard thing for him to realize that he had to, you know, really take a moment, a day to just be quiet and focused and take some rest. And that pastor was me, and that weekend was last weekend. So I know, right? I know that that's, when I talk about this message, when I talk about rest, I'm not messing around. Like, there's zero chance that I wanted to be up here yesterday or last week. I was exhausted. And that's not, I mean, this is my job, right? This is what I'm supposed to do. But 133 out of the last 139 weeks, I've been here. On average, a pastor preaches 40 weeks a year. So that's why Brent's going to preach in a couple weeks for 2 weeks, and Craig's going to preach next week. I mean, I won't be here, so I mean, it'd be kind of difficult for me to be here and preach in Arizona. So I say all that to say, for the longest time, I have not practiced what I've preached when it comes to rest. And now, because of where I don't know if I had to hit rock bottom in the rest department or in the Sabbath department. But once I realized and once I was able to understand that, you know, you need to take some time. You need to rest. You need to, you know, maybe not prepare a message and let somebody else prepare a message, and you just be a congregation member for that weekend or whatever, or not even be here at all, right? It's important. It's important for all of us to take a rest, because I know what it feels like to be depleted, right? To give everything and not allow God to continue to fill up my bank account. It is critically important to do that. You know, some would say that the hardest commandment is the commandment of taking a rest, right? I mean, not murdering people, it's pretty simple, right? You don't want to kill people, right? But taking a break, taking a rest, that's pretty difficult for a lot of us to do. But it's so, so important. It's why we need discipline. Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Therefore a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his." There's a rest that remains for us. It's not just in eternity, but it's now. Like, there is rest available for us now, but we have to open them up. We have to be willing to accept that rest, to make the time for the rest, to be intentional about taking a rest. So let me extend Jesus' invitation to you again from Matthew chapter 11. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So what would it look like for you to actually go to him for rest? What would it look like? What would it look like to stop striving, to embrace silence, and to practice Sabbath rest? Maybe it means setting aside one day per week, just focusing on rest. Start small. Maybe it's 5 minutes each morning, right? I mean, I know with many of us who are super busy, just like cold turkey taking an entire day off is pretty difficult. So maybe it starts, you know, 5 or 10 minutes every day to just kind of be quiet and just be still and take that rest. Your soul is crying out for rest. My soul was bawling last week, right? Our souls need rest. God is inviting you to come, to get that rest, to receive that rest. And will you accept that invitation? That's the big question. Will you accept the invitation? So let me close with this encouragement from Psalm 62. It says, "I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken." I'm going to read that again. "I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken." Rest is found in God alone. Not in perfect circumstances, not in completed to-do lists, not in achieved goals, but in God alone. You were made for more than exhaustion. You were made for rest. You were made for rhythm. You were made for intentionality. And you were made to experience the peace that comes from accepting that gift of rest from God. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for meeting us with your rest and your word. Lord, as we go, help us practice what we've heard by trusting you enough to stop, to be still, and to receive. Lord, guard a Sabbath rhythm in our homes. Tune our ears to your soft whisper and strengthen us to serve from renewal rather than from hurry. Or may the peace of your Son Jesus rule our hearts this week for your glory and our good, because we know he will give us rest for our soul. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.